case we left off last week, we began to discuss the din of Lalasha Torah, Ribbis, Habami, Adlovi, Admalva. The only time Ribbis is violated in the Torah and even the Rabbanan is only when you have some kind of a relationship between the Malva and the Lova, and the money is going pretty much directly from the Lova to the Malva. So we had situations which are not a violation of Ribbis Bechlal based on that. We have Tezos pointed out that you have to sometimes be careful not to confuse that sugi with some of the sugis of Arev, but basically the rule basically sticks. There is such a din that appears in the Gemara in Ezu Neshech, the Asher Tel Ribbis Ababi Ad Yovel Yad Malva. It's based on this Gemara that the Rishonim quote, the Mordechai quotes in the name of a Chuvas Rashi. So it's a phantom Chuvas Rashi because half the possible say the Chuva doesn't exist. But there's some kind of a Chuvas Rashi floating around somewhere. It says the following, that since the Asher Torah Ribbis Ababi Alobi La Malva, therefore you can have a trick in terms of Ribbis. I want to give Ribbis to you. So what do we do? Very simple. Rather than be giving the Ribbis directly to you, we give the Ribbis to a Shaliach. So Lo Asher Torah Li Alobi La Malva. So there's no, it's not going to be Alobi La Malva. It's going to a middleman. It's going to a Shaliach. So that's not considered to be a violation of Ribbis. That's what it says in the name of Chuvas Rashi. Then Rashi goes on. Suppose that Phantom Rashi goes on to ask himself, "What do you mean?" Shluch Hashem Kamaisai. The Gemara is the beginning of Kiddushin. That about Makadish and Isha Deshliach and Megarish Isha Deshliach, Makadish Tuma Deshliach. That's considered to be the Yad of the Mishalayach. So says Rashi, "No, it's not a problem because since Ribbis is a Dvar Aveira, it's a Nisser. So therefore, the Gemara says in Maseches Kiddushin, Daf Mem Beis, it ain't Shliach a Dvar Aveira. The whole Machlekes is in the Gemara. What the Malka for that rule is?" Either it's based on a svar of Divrei Rav, Divrei Tam, Divrei Mishomim. Means why is the Shaliach listening to the Mishalech? He should listen to the Rabban Shalalam. So Shalichus doesn't apply under those circumstances. Or another pshat in the Gemara seems to say it's based on Sukkah, because there's a kosa, that there's no Shalichus Da'avera. Whatever the actual mock or ain't Shalichus Da'avera is, the din is true, it's a given, that's halacha. There's one Tano disagrees, Sham has Ocha and holds that Yesh Shalichus Da'avera. We don't pass that way. So all the other Tanoim say ain't Shalichus Da'avera. Therefore, comes Rashi and the supposed Chuvin says that Ribbis Ayde Shlichus should be mutter because it's not really Shlichus. So it's, we can apply the principle of law, Shatara, El Ribbis Abob Yad Liovel Yad Malva. This is what it appears in the Mordechai, the name of Rashi. So the poskim have a discussion whether this Rashi sheet should be accepted or not. So the Beis Yosef writes, he quotes this Chuvas Rashi, and he says he can't believe in his wildest imagination Rashi ever says such a thing. There must have been some Talmud who missed Shira day. He was sitting in the back ropes, he missed it, whatever, he didn't know what was going on. It was a Talmud Toya, says the Beis Yosef. He can't subscribe to Chipsam, Mishra Bikashita, the actual Halei Gashivas Rashi. But notwithstanding the Beis Yosef and the Vilna Gaon goes along with the Beis Yosef, also writes that's a Talmud Toya, and you can't rely on it, it's a Dvar B'Talem, it doesn't mean anything. There are some Gedolia poskim who quote the Shita's Rashi and say that Taka is a real Shita. Then you agree, they disagree with you, possibly or not, but that Rashi apparently did say that some of the big poskim who quote the Shita's Rashi are the Ramah and the Shach, two pretty big names in Yerdeh. So the Ramah quotes this the Shita's Rashi, and he says, Yeshayimim, that you're allowed to lend money at the Ribbis, as long as the Ribbis is done at the Shaliach. So the Ramah writes that Eim Afarasim in a Sadova Pnei Ami Ha'aretz. The good news, anyone who comes to Shia during June's month is by definition not an Ami Ha'aretz, so we can talk about it. You're Ami Ratzim, I can't talk about it. So comes the Ramah and says that Eim Afarasim in a Sadova Pnei Ami Ha'aretz, but in our heart of hearts says the Ramah that B'Shas Al-Chak, such a Shita does exist. So others question the Ramah, they say that if Mar Shachim is true, it's not true. So the Levush has a Lashon, and he says that B'chi Torah B'tzina Nitna, the Torah was given private, means if it's true, so tell the Elam about it. So the Shach says he doesn't know what the Levush is upset about the Ramah. There are a lot of things. That phrase, Ein Omrim Dovah Zeh B'Fnei Ha'aretz, is not something that the Ramah made up. The Gemara has that. The Gemara Maseches Menachos has it concerning a discussion about whether a person fulfills the mitzvah of Talmud Torah just by saying Kriya Shema B'Yom V'Laila. So Machlek is at Tanoi, whether the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is a Chi of Gomer V'Yisa Yom V'Laila, Mamish all the time, you can't stop for anything. Or except you have to eat, you have to sleep, whatever. Short of that, you're not allowed to stop for anything. Or is the basic Tzuras HaMitzvah V'Yisa Yom V'Laila means a little bit in the morning, a little bit in the night. You should try to learn as much as you can. Everyone agrees, that's the Ran writes in Maseches Nedarim. Even according to that sheet that it says that you yaitzeh the mitzvah Talmud Torah by a little bit, V'Laila, doesn't mean you shouldn't be learning the rest of the day. That's a mitzvah. Yediyah Satayra, different stories, whatever the other parts of the mitzvah are. But the bare minimum of Agisa B'Yom B'Laila, so according to one opinion in the Gemara, just means a little bit B'Yom, a little bit B'Laila. So the Gemara says, according to that opinion, a feel of Karla, Kriyash Mashachas Yarbis Yatza. So you said a little bit of Divrei Torah in the morning, a little bit of Divrei Torah at night. So you would technically Yatza Yechi of Gomer of Agisa B'Yom B'Laila. So the Gemara quotes one opinion that says that Asa Lama Dava Zeb Fnei Amaretz. You shouldn't tell the Amaretz on this. Why? Because they'll hear this. They won't come to hear anymore. They won't want to learn anymore. So therefore, it's not a good idea, even though it's true. I mean, according to one day, I'm not saying we do a don't pass like that, but according to one opinion, it's true. But we shouldn't be Mefarsim. That's what the Shach says. This idea of not being Mefarsim, things which are going to lead Lidei Mecholim, exist in Chazal. So what do you want from the Ramah? So the Ramah was willing to accept the Shittas Rashi, but he thought it would be bad public policy to tell the Olam about it. So the Ramah writes, it's true. Anyone who learns Yerodeh Simakuf Samach realizes that it's true, but the Ramah writes, don't write it in the Kitza books. Eim Efarsim Mesadavar. So the bottom line is, Machlek is the place where we can accept the Shittas Rashi Bechlal. So the Beis Yosef and the Gros say the whole thing is a mistake. It's all Tos Seif, all Tos Tamatay, the whole thing is a Dvar Metalim. And the Ramon and the Shach both defended as Meik and Meik Radin, even though we wouldn't advocate necessarily for the Hamonam to actually follow it. But even a Niach that this Kula is true, according to Rashi, by the time we get done with this Kula, we're going to see that it has almost no ramifications Lamaisa for us, based on the following considerations. So come Yach Radin and point out already the Ramon writes about this in the Daki Moshe, but L'chur the Rashi is a Pella, forget about conceptually a Pella, is against the Mishnah. There's a Mishnah at the end of Ezer Neshach. We'll talk about this Mishnah a little bit later on. The Mishnah talks about Ribbis Mukdemus and Ribbis Mukheris. When you're paying Ribbis, not at the time of the actual transaction, not at the time of the loan, not at the time of the repayment, let's say in advance the Ribbis. So I want to borrow $100 from you, so I send you a gift now. I'm giving you a gift, and next month when I come to you for a loan, I'm hoping that you'll be able to give me the loan. So the Mishnah says that's called Ribbis Mukdemes. We'll talk about that as a Isaac. I wonder where does that fit into the picture in terms of Ribbis? What is Ribbis Mukheres? It's after the loan's ready, pay back. I borrowed $100, I pay back $100, and then 6 months later I want to send you a nice gift as a token of my appreciation. That's called Ribbis Mukheres. There's also in the Mishnah, the Gemara about that at the very end of Ezer Neshach. So the way the Mishnah presents the din of Ribbis Mukdemes, the Mishnah says, Lo yishloch adam lechaveirai matana, and then a week later ask him to borrow money. That's the lush that the Mishnah uses. You shouldn't send a present and then a week later come and ask for a loan. That would be a violation of Ribbis Mukdemes. So comes the Ramah and asks, if according to Rashi, even Ribbis Gomer is mutra de shaliach, if you do the whole, Mamash, Ribbis deraita de shaliach is het to Gomer according to Rashi. What's the Mishnah talking about? Ribbis Mukdemes de shaliach. As long as there is a shaliach, so all bets are off. The whole thing should be mutter. So what's shot in Rashi? So the Ramah says, no, you have to revamp. There's Rashi. You have to go back to Rashi and understand what Rashi said. Rashi was only talking about if the entire halva was ayadei shaliach. So let's say I borrow money I borrow money directly from the malveh, and then I send the ribbis ayadei shaliach. So says the Ramah, that's what the Mishnah is talking about. So that's for sure also. If it's real ribbis ketzutza, it would be in ribbis derais. If it's apak ribbis, it would be derabon. If it's ribbis mukdemus, it would be ribbis mukdemus, whatever that is. But to say that that's the kul of ayadei shaliach, this not ayadei shaliach. The heter ayadei shaliach is only when the etzem halva is ayadei shaliach. The etzem halva is from the malveh to the loiveh. Even Rashi would never dream of such a thing to say that that's not considered to be ribbis. What's the bir hadavar? What's pshat in that strange thing? If the whole svar of Rashi is lost with teir leribbis habomi ad lobi liad malveh, and you're going to tell me that the shliach is not the ad loven, it's not the ad malveh, because ain't shliach ad vavera, so who cares whether the original transaction was done directly or not? He said, l'chora, the only thing we should care about is the ribbis. The ribbis is the avera. So what do I care whether the original, if the original loan was the shliach, then it's okay. If the original loan wasn't the shliach, then it's not okay. What's pshat? So the Achmarim explain what, I think the Chavis Das, if I'm not mistaken, explains this way, that L'chor the Pshat Rashi is as follows. L'chor the Rashi at first glance, besides being so strikingly strange, L'chor is impossible to understand. The din of Ostra Torah Ribbis Habom Yad Lo Yad Malveh. That means Yad. What does the word Yad mean? Yad means a hand. Yeah, there's a hand, five fingers. That's what Yad means. And if I give you from my foot to your foot, that's not going to be real. What joke is that? That's Yad Lo Yad Malveh. What would the din be as follows? Let's say, if I say to you like this, I say to you, I want to borrow $100 from you and I'll pay you back $120. So here, take the $100 and put it down on the table. And you put it down on the table and I'll pick it up. And then when I come back next week to pay the loan, I'll put the $120 down on the table. I'll put it down, I'll walk away, and you'll pick it up. Would anybody in their right mind say that's not called ribbis? Well, us to tell the ribbis above the lovely yad malva. It's not a yad halova yad malva. That's not called liyad. That's not a chisson of yad lovely yad malva. The word yad clearly means, like it means in other cases in halacha, Yad means reshus. Yad means that it's coming from my koyach to your koyach. So my nefkamina, whether it was sitting on the table or not, that's a different posha. So come the acharedim and say, how can we make any sense of the shittas Rashi? Even dalvi hoch the din of shlichas. So there's no din of shlichas. Okay, because if you don't say shlichas on kamaisai, because ain't shlichas v'aveir. That's very nice. When do we have to be done on shlichas? That's when the moshul look at gittin. The Torah says v'nosen miyada. You need mamish in the sina miyad liyad. You need a mice in the sina of the baal to the isha. The parish of Apez Marba that a chotir is also considered to be an asina liyad isha, but it required a mice in a sina. What would the din be if I give a get? Reuben gives a get to his wife. He puts the get down the table and the woman picks it up. What's the din? Nope, woman get with me last year. What's the din? It's no good. Minatari, it's no good. It's not enough that the get originates with the husband and it ends up in the wife's possession. No, there's a halachic maisa nesina that's necessary. So when there's a halachic maisa nesina that's necessary, shlichus is an unbelievable chiddush. It's a mind-boggling chiddush that shluchsam kemaisa, that I'm not doing anything. I wrote the get and I went to sleep, and now somebody else is giving the get on my behalf. But that nesina as a shlich is called the nesina sabal. And it's not a chisaron of pligitech miagavikarka. That's a whopper of a chiddush. You need a zeres akasa for that. But come the achredim and say by ribis, what do you need a zeres akasa shlichus for? He said the money starting out as the malva's money, it ending up at the lova's money. Then the lova's giving the ribis. It's starting out of his money, ending up at the malva's money. So you have a ribis abo miyad lovli al malva. So what's my shlichus? What does it matter whether yesh shlichus davar, ain't shlichus davar? Hopefully, it doesn't make any sense. So come the Achmarim and say, the only way to salvage this idea of saying that there's no ribbis and shlich, if such an idea is salvageable. The Beis Yosef and the Gro would have left Shia today. They're sitting in the back. That's why they didn't come to Shia. The Beis Yosef and the Gro said, the whole thing is a mistake. What are we wasting 15 minutes on this? But even according to the Ramon Mishach, the whole part in this ribbis habal, yad yobal, yad malveh, has to be like this. If this whole transaction is looked upon as one big loan, then it's not a problem. If the role of the shaliach, if he's just a middleman, he's just an agent, he's just bringing the money from one person to the next, but it's basically one loan that's taking place, so then we're in a pit, then we have a problem. Then it's a halva of a rib. But maybe you can argue there are two different business, there are two different things going on over here. I'm lending the shaliach, in a sense, $100. He's lending the loiva. He's making a deal with the lawyer to pay back up to $120. He's paying back him the money. Him making him the money. There was never a halva between the malva and the lawyer. So if there's never a halva between the malva and the lawyer, the shaliach is not just a meisa kaif b'yam, but the shaliach is creating, in a sense, a new halva, a new relationship. So maybe you can argue, maybe that's what it means. The osher terli ribis abal yad novel yad malva. So that's what the Achmarim explained, that if lemaisa the original loan was given directly from the malva to the lawyer. So of course there's a loan between the malva and the lover. There's no loan between the malva and the lover. There's a loan between the malva and the lover. The fact that the couple of pennies of ribis is being deposited into the hands of the shaliach, and the shaliach is in turn bringing it, the shaliach is bringing it is no better nor worse than putting it down the table. So as long as the halach is kiveya, that there's a loan taking place between the malva and the lover, that Reuben and Shimon are not strangers. They have a relationship with a malva and a lover. So of course any subsequent ribis is going to be a problem. So maybe that's a little watered down version of what's going on. But the ma'aseh, when all the dust settles, even according to the biggest mekilim who accept this kula, comes in Ramah and says, "B'med the Ramamurim, this kula makes any sense, is that this would only be true if it's a milva ba'al peh. If I'm lending you $100, there's no document, and then you're lending, then the shaliach is giving the money to him, and he's collecting the ribbons, etc. But once you write a shtar, whose name is going to say in the shtar? What's it going to say in the shtar's name? It's going to say in the document's name, who the malva is and who the loiva is. So once it says pemol, who the malva and who the loiva is, so then all the game's over. So then of course there's a relationship between the malva and the loiva. Father, that's considered to be ribis teraisa. So the Ramah writes that, yeah, the kula, the Ramah was the biggest maker. He's willing, b'shas l'chag gadol, to rely on the shittas Rashi, but only in a situation where it doesn't say b'feirush, and the milva is not, when the halva is not nichtav al shem ha'loiva. If it's nichtav al shem ha'loiva, then the whole thing is a joke. That's why some wanted to suggest that it would have been a gewaltige solution to all the ribbis problems today. We're going to talk a little bit later today about ribbis and banks. So it's solve all the ribbis problems in all Jewish banks. How do you solve it? It's ribbis ha'deh shaliach. I walk into Bank Leumi and I go enter into a transaction. So Mr. Leumi is not giving me the money. He's giving his shaliach, his manager, who's giving it. I'm dealing with the bank tellers. A lady behind the counter. So I'm giving her $100. She's giving me back from the bank. That I'll give $100 to my savings account. They can give me back $100 and 5 cents. So that's not called ribbis, because she's a shaliach. So So that's a joke. That's not Ribbis Ayidei Shaliach. Because what does it say in the account? It says in the account, Rabbi Sobolovsky. And it says on the top of the page, the statement says, Bai Glumi. So there's a Malvin, there's a Lova. The fact that the money switched hands 15,000 times from the owners of the bank till it got to me, from me till it got to the owners of the bank, Lamalav Lamirin. So when there's a star written, I'll shame my life, I'll shame my Malvin. So the whole game is over. That's when today's world, all deals are going to have documents. It's going to go lend significant amounts of money without documents, Bisman is there. So every time, any business loan, everything's going to have a shtar written up. And it's not going to say the shaliach, it's not going to have the bank tell his name that she's the one responsible to come up with the rivers. It's going to have the real mom and the real lover. So the whole game is over. Even according to the Mechila, it's never going to be shach to rely on this. So therefore, it's a nice, when you learn, you learn the shlichos, so you can spend a lot of time pilfering about the shittas rashi. But at the end of the day, there's not that much left of it. The whole thing is a very, very questionable kula. In the first place, and even if the kula is true, it's only true when the original hava was done by the shliach, and even that doesn't apply when there's a shtar written al shem the malv and loiva. So in my simple practical purposes, the whole thing falls by the wayside. The one thing we can extract from everything we've been talking about until now is that the existence of a malva and a loiva are absolutely critical. And if you have some kind of a deal that's set up where there's something lacking in terms of either the malva or the loiva, you're opening up the possibility of there not really being a problem of ribbis at all. So it's with this background that the Gemara in Ezun Heshech begins to discuss the following shayla, which becomes the source of very, very important shaylas bizman hazeh. So comes the Gemara and discusses what's the status of Mol Shol Yisoynim. You have little children who are Yisoynim, under the age of Bar Mitzvah, so they're not technically Chayiv in Mitzvahs. So usually what the setup is, Beis Din appointed apotropos, a guardian, you know, someone to watch over their property. So the guardian would like to go do some business with their property. So let's say someone fell into a big Yerusha, they have a lot of cash floating around. So the guardian was appointed by Beis Din, or was appointed by the father, so he's looking out for the best interests of the Yisoynim. So one of the things that he could do is to lend money for ribbis. That would make some good returns on this money. So he wants to take the Moshe Yisoynim and lend it to another Jew and to collect ribbis from that. What's the deal? There's more questions about like about this. One thing the Gemara says, Moshe Yisoynim, mutul avosim beribbis. You're permitted to lend them with ribbis, even ribbis deraisa. What's the pshat? Why can there be such an opinion that says that? So the pashtus, that opinion is assuming that the malva is under the age of my mitzvah. So the malva is not mechuyav in mitzvahs. It's not his problem. So how does that touch upon the fact that we're not supposed to feed non-kosher food to ketanim? That's a whole different sugya, not for now. But that one day that seems to say that mol shel yisoynim amutul avosim even beribbis deraisa, because there's no malva who's in violation of any issa, because the malva is under the age of bar mitzvah. So Tosfos and Hakamar says, wait a second, there's a malva, there's a loiva, just that the malva is not mechuyav in mitzvahs, but the loiva is mechuyav in mitzvahs. Isn't there an issa for a person to borrow money to ribbis? Isn't there an issa on a loiva? You know, we talk about this first day of shiur. We've only been having 2 days, it's only the second day of ribbis shiur. We've been learning ribbis for a week, but it's only the second day of shiur. So comes the Mishnah in the end of Eitz and Eshchem says that the malva is over in his yisurim, and the loiva is over in his yisurim. The loiva is over on the yisur of Los Ashich. So comes Tyson and says, there's an equally valid issa for the loiva mitzvah atzmai to pay ribbis. So what does it help me that the assignment are under the age of a mitzvah? So good, it's not their problem. They're under the mitzvah, they can do whatever they want. But what right does the Jewish loiva have to borrow money for ribbis? So Tosfos suggests that the sum of the answer to the question is as follows: that the relationship, there's a relationship between the issa and the malva and the issa and the loiva. The Torah says that a malva is not allowed to lend money to ribbis, and the Torah says a loiva is not allowed to borrow money to ribbis. So what pshat in those yisurim? Are those two yisurim independent yisurim? It happens to be. Malva is over his pekel of yisurim, and the loiva is over his pekel of yisurim, and in theory, one can be over one without the other. They're not totally zebazeh. But you say no. We all know in our heart of hearts, who's the real Isser of ribbis on? The real McCoy is really in the malva. The Torah is really, really going after the malva. That's the real Isser of ribbis. Hello, what? The Torah also asks the loiva, but the isra and the loiva is neveya mitachi isra and the malva. If and when there's an isra and the malva, then you can begin to discuss on the isra and the loiva. Like the Torah, such a lashon mitachumra sa'isra, because the Torah was so machmir in the malva, the Torah wanted to, it's like a siyav, it's like a gzeira. You know, the Torah doesn't trust the malva himself. If I just tell the malva, he's not allowed to do it, he may violate an isra. But if the Torah says to the loiva, you also are going to be in violation of an isser, that's like an extra precaution to prevent the malva from violating his isser. But the whole nature of the isser and the loiva is not an independent isser. The isser and the loiva is neveya mitaycha isser the malva. What would be the corollary of that? Kiddush. that if for some reason we can remove the malva out of the equation, if the malva for whatever technical reason doesn't violate an isser, then there won't be an isser in the loiva altogether. That's what Taisa says. That's found that one day in the Gemara. One opinion in the Gemara that says that mal shel yisayim, if you're permitted to lend money beribis, even ribis deraisa, that's assuming for the following reason. That's assuming that the Icarus is really in the Malva, and the Malva is on the Bar Mitzvah, he's not Mechuv in the Mitzvah, and the Mele of the Yisr is not going to be Chal in the Loiva altogether. That's Pshat on that one day. Those of the Mashiach know the famous story about me and the Alexander Chassid, you know, in Beis Sharm 25 years ago. So you never heard the story? Famous story. It happened. So why do I remember the story now? I'll tell you why in a second. It was during Ben Azmanim, I was living in Camp Yavna, and I had a couple of hours in Meir Sharm, I was waiting for somebody. So I had nothing to do with Meir Sharm. You find a little shtiebel. I sit down and learn. So I sat down, and it was Alexander shtiebel or something. I don't know, whatever it was. So I sat down, it was a very hot day. So an older Chassidish, old Yerushalmi man comes over and gives me a cup of water. And he sees I'm sitting there learning, and he says to me, it's called Hadovek Batoira, Kiludovek Beakodesh Baruchu. He walks away. I never met the man before. I'm always convinced it was Eliyahu HaNavi came to give me chizuk that I was learning. What I remember, because I remember I was learning Ezer Neshech that Zman. So I was learning this sugya. I was mamish writing up this thing about the Malv and the Loiv, about this Taisus. So I never would remember that. I remember that Maisus. I remember that's what I was learning. So, Kaladovik, okay. So somehow when you have the Alexander look, you know, the Yishanvi look, it comes out a lot better. So, bottom line is, Taisus quotes a beer as a beer in one of the days of the Gemara. So the only problem is the Gemara rejects this day. The Gemara says it's not true. You're not allowed to lend money for Ribbis, even Moshe Yisayim. But it could be the lumpness of Taisus may be right, but it could be for some technical reasons you're not allowed to do it anyway. So the bottom line is, you're not allowed to lend Ribbis for Moshe Yisayim. That's the din. The Gemara rejects that opinion. The Gemara concludes that you're not permitted to do so. However, the Gemara does conclude the following. The Gemara says that even though you're not allowed to lend money by ribis d'araisa with Moshe Yisayimim, you are permitted to lend money of ribis d'rabbanim with Moshe Yisayimim. The Gemara gives a specific example of a type of a business transaction that would only be a violation of ribis d'rabbanim. The Gemara says that type of ribis d'rabbanim would be permissible with Moshe Yisayimim. Again, what's the idea? Why should that be so? So Mr. Shad is the Chachamim wanted to make life easy for the Yisayim. They wanted the Yisayim to make a couple of dollars. So if you're gonna close the possibility for them to do all kind of business, it's going to be hard. So therefore, for a grown-up, older person, so we don't care to make a few extra dollars. So if we feel there's a reason to make this gezeirah to ask the ribbis d'rabbanan, we're going to make it. But for the assignment, we want to make it easy for them so they're kept on the din d'araisa. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. That's the din, that whenever you have a type of situation that's only a ribbis d'rabbanan, the ribbis d'rabbanan is going to be mutter b'makom yisayimim, whereas the ribbis d'araisa is going to be also even b'makom yisayimim. That's the way it appears in Shulchan Aruch, based on the Gemara in the end of Ezer Neshech. Why is that Gemara important for us? We very rarely have these types of setups. So come to Rishonim and discuss a similar question. Come to Rishonim and discuss what's the din of Moshe Tzedakah. You have a yeshiva, you have a mikveh, you have a kol, you have a mosad, a chesed or something, that they have money, and they want to invest the money. They want to do business with the money. So here's a good investment. We'll do it, invest it in such and such a way. But wait a second, not so simple. We'll see as we go on. A lot of business investments run into questions of ribbis. Sometimes ribbis deraisa, sometimes ribbis derabanan. So you have a yeshiva that's got loads of extra money. That's usually the case. They got loads of extra money. So they want to start going into real estate. And they want to start going into a lot of kind of investments. They put money in stocks, all kind of stuff. So do they have to be worried about hilchos ribbis or not? Do tzedakah funds, are they concerned with hilchos ribbis? So come a group of Rishonim, where the Rosh say that the rules for tzedakah money are the same rules as for Moshe Yisayimim. Just as Moshe Yisayimim, you see Chazal bent over backwards to try to make life easy for the Yisayimim, and therefore they were willing to forego. They said, you don't have to follow the din of ribbis d'rabbanan, you don't have to be so machmeh in the Moshe Yisayimim because you want the Moshe Yisayimim to make money. So too, when it comes to tzedakah funds, we're going to be mevater and all the dirim d'rabbanan. Whatever's ribbis d'rabbanan is not going to apply for Moshe Yisayim. The v'alpika kula for yeshivas and shuls is unbelievable kula. That all d'rabbanan, everything's off. Ribbis k'tzutza d'araisa, the mamish to lend 100 for 120, so that would be off limits for a shul. That would be off limits for tzedakah for a yeshiva. But short of that, everything that's only ribbis d'rabbanan, which is many, many things in ribbis d'rabbanan, so all those things would be mutter based on the sugya of Moshe Yisayim. That's what the Rosh writes. There were some Rishonim who wanted to go even further than that. There were some Rishonim who wanted to say that maybe Moshe Tzedakah is better than Mol shall Yisomim, and maybe we can even make rounds to be Mat, even Ribbis Deraisa. Mamash, a great way for Yeshiva to make money. The Yeshiva should go into the money lending business. So they'll lend $100, get $150 back. That was Gavaldik. You don't have to raise money for tuition anymore. So is that Mutta? What are the grounds to be Mat? How can the Yeshiva, how can the Koil, how can the Moser of Chesed, how can these institutions be better than the Mol shall Yisomim? So come to Rishon and raise the following question. What exactly is the status of tzedakah funds? Forget about those rivers for a second. What is the general status of tzedakah funds as a whole? Are tzedakah funds considered to be like the halakha equivalent of what's called moshal hekdesh? We know the Torah has a concept, there's the dinim of this concept called moshal hekdesh. We know this in Hukos Nezikin, in Hukos Elnon, in Kinyonim. There are different rules that govern the rules of Moshal Hekdesh that are different than the rules of Moshal Hedyo. So as a general rule, many of the limitations in terms of many of the details of Dinei Mamonis don't really apply to Dinei Hekdesh. Say, Moshal, there's Eino Noel Hekdesh, the Gemara says. It works Ben L'chum and Ben L'kula. Say, if you have Hekdesh owns something, and I want to be paid the Hekdesh. So the Hekdesh happens to be worth $1,000, and I give a proof to the Hekdesh. So the Gemara says that Hekdesh Shavu Manah Shechula Shavu Pruta Mechulot, that the pigeon Hekdesh works. I ripped off Hekdesh, I cheated Hekdesh. If I would have bought $1,000 item for you and only paid you a nickel, so that would have been called a no, that would be a bit of mekach. We would have to cancel the whole sale. So comes the Gemara and says, but Hekdesh is different, that because the Torah says, Al tonu ish ezochiv, and Pashas Bahar, the parsha of Ono, was only given to Hedyot. Hold on, say, for example, many of the halachas of Gezeil are different for Hekdesh, many of the halachas of Mazik are different for Hekdesh. Ishki Yechel Tum, the Mazik, there are no dinim. The Torah says, Yishalim Shnaim L'Re'eyu, there's no dinim of Keif of the Hekdesh. Many of the dinim of Dini Mamonis don't apply to Mamon Hekdesh. Hekdesh is some new entity of Bailas. So the Rishonim assume that just as there's no dinim of Geneva and Ono, etc. in the realm of Hekdesh, so the same will be true when it comes to Ribbis. The Ribbis is given Lo Sashich Le'achicha, Achicha Pral Hekdesh. So the Gemara doesn't have that drush exactly, Beferish, but we assume that that's probably the case. There's no real din of ribbis for Hekdesh. So what exactly is Hekdesh? So is Hekdesh only mamish based on Hamikdash funds? Or is Hekdesh means any Kaddish Tikkah funds, any holy funds? So Tzedakahs are also holy, and yeshivas are also holy, shuls are also holy. So what does it mean when we speak about Hekdesh? In Yiddish, they used to call the Moshels Aniyim, they used to call it the Hekdesh money. First it's being Makdish money. So people use that phrase, but the question is, does it mean anything? Api Allah. That's a big machlekes in Rishonim, which goes way beyond the Rivers. Let me do the Rivers now. This is an Elno question, and a Geneva question, a Kefa question, Kinyonim question. This is a Cheshem Mishmi question. What exactly is the status of Hekdesh funds? So a lot of the machlekes revolves around the sugya that appears in the end of the 8th paragraph of the Kama. The Gemara speaks about, tells a story about there was a certain tzedakah fund that was stolen. This is a real shame. This happens all the time. Someone's watching over tzedakah funds. He's got the money locked away. The money gets stolen. So is he considered to be a shomer or not? So the Gemara is a special. It's a kosov. Chiyitain ishar e'o kesef akerim lishmor. Lishmor v'lo l'chalek li'anihim. The din of shmira doesn't apply, but I'm not really watching it for the other person. I'm watching it in order to divide it amongst the aniyim, so that's not subject to the din of shmira. So the Gemara is after Gzeres HaKosav. So Rishon and Pilpul in that sugya, what do you see from that Gemara? It sounds like it's a special Gzeres HaKosav in Hilcha Shmira, that there are no din of shmira in tzedakah funds, because lishmo v'lo l'chalek l'aniyim. But if not for that, there would have been a din of shmira on tzedakah funds. Either there's no din of shmira on hekdesh. There's no halacha in the fourth paragraph of Matthias, there's a whole sugya, there's no real din of a shomer. If I'm watching something for Hekdesh so that I have no achrayas of shmira whatsoever, so if that's the case, that Hekdesh is not subject to shmira, so why does the Gemara need a special gzeres hakosav that there's no din of shmira in tzedakah funds? So Zemin Fendoy, you see from here that tzedakah is not considered to be Hekdesh. That's what most of the Rishonim say. And other Rishonim try to pilpul and the doichet araya back and forth. So it's a shayla on the Rishonim. What's this? Is there such an equation in halacha? Because shmira and geneva and keifa and ribbis for our purposes, are tzedakah funds considered to be have the halakha category of Hekdesh or not? So we assume in Shulchan Aruch that not. We assume in Ochas Ribbis that not. Tzedakah funds, if they would have had the status of Hekdesh, it would have been a mamish, a free-for-all. When mamish had to go home, you can ravish, lend Ribbis their ice on them. So we assume that that's not correct. We assume that ribbis derabanan is mutu, it's enough for funds, because it's no better, no worse than the moshel yisaimim. But to go the extra mile and say that it's mutter legamre, because it's mamash like hektesh, that far we don't go. So there is a tshuva say Rashba, where the Rashba opens up a potential time bomb in terms of the sugya of achas ribbis in the sugya of moshel tzedakah. Comes the Rashba and says, maybe moshel tzedakah should be better than moshel yisaimim for a totally different reason. Nothing to do with the fact that Moshe Tzedakah is like Hektesh, forget about that, that's a Kefil Shmira, so we don't need that. Comes to Rashi and says, what are the ABCs of Ilchus Ribbis? The ABCs of Ilchus Ribbis, that there's a Malveh and there's a Loiveh. Right? Lo Ostrak Torah, Lo Ribbis, Abom Yad Lov, Yad Malveh. So the understanding of that statement is, you have to have a Malveh and you have to have a Loiveh. So says the Rashba, when the tzedakah funds lends out money to somebody, when the yeshiva lends out money to somebody, when the shul, when the mikvah lends out money to somebody, who are they exactly? Who's the malveh? Find me the name of the malveh. But the board of directors is the malveh. They don't have a liability. Who's the malveh? The malveh is yeshivas Rabbi Nitzan Rahana. I said it's not an entity. It doesn't exist. I mean, it exists, but it's not. There's not a person. There's no one person who's called yeshivas Rabbi Nitzan Rahana. It's, I don't know what the legalities of the yeshiva or any yeshiva are, but it's not an entity. It's not a malva yadua. So comes the Rashba and says, Abba Zoi, you can't pinpoint who the malva yadua is. There is no malva for practical purposes, and therefore it should be mutter. Even ribbis diaraisa. Moshe Yisraim is not the same thing. Moshe said, we know these someone. There are three kids with Yisraim, Nebuch. So we're very sad for them, and we try to help them, but there's a limit what we could do. So ribbis diarabanan, we could forego. Well, we mavatar on the ribbis diarabanan. But to be mavatar ribbis diaraisa, forget it. Actually, we mavatar ribbis diaraisa for the Yisraim, we know exactly who they are. They're the three malves. Whereas over here, when you have a shul, you have a tzedakah and a yeshiva, you don't have a malveh b'chlal. There's no person to point to. So that's not considered to be miyad lo b'yad malveh. So the Rashba quotes the Svara, and then he writes, but lemaisa, you shouldn't rely on it. He says, not sure that it's right. You can't really rely on it. So Shulchan Aruch, it's not quoted. Lemaisa and Shulchan Aruch, we don't accept this Rashba. We go with conventional wisdom like the Rosh, that ribbis d'rabbanan we will permit for yeshivas and most else of chesed, things of that nature, tzedakah funds. We will permit ribbis derabanan, but to permit ribbis derais in these situations is too difficult for us to do. We're not willing to rely on the fact that maybe it's a din like hektesh, that the most Rishonim didn't buy into that, and we're not willing to rely on this Rashba, because the Rashba himself didn't really buy into that, so therefore we're kind of stuck with where we started, that the Mol Shel Tzedakah are pretty much a pi'alocha, the same as the Mol Shel Yisaimim, and that's what we're going to follow today. That's the ma'isa what we're going to do. Like it says in Shulchan Aruch, that there are bottoms we're going to be making on, but there are ices, the ribbis there are ices, we're going to have to stop, even for these kinds of tzedakah funds, etc. So notwithstanding the fact that it sounds like once you go through the sugya, you go through the Chubas HaRash, you go through the Rashba, and you come to the conclusion that the Rashba himself backed out, and Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote it. So it sounds like this Rashba's idea was a nice idea, but it doesn't really mean anything. That means, even though we can't pinpoint who the Malva was, we know at the end of the day that there are people behind this Tzedakah, the people who are putting their money into the Tzedakah funds, so they are still considered to be the Baalei Tzedakah, so to speak. So it sounds like at the end of the day, that we're going to have to treat Tzedakah funds as being pretty much, in a sense, like private funds, and they are going to be subject to issues of business. So there is a further question that later poskim, that doesn't appear in the Shulchan Aruch itself, but the later Acharim discussed, in terms of the following type of a shayla. It's a very, very common shayla. I have my little tzedakah box, right? And I, every day, I put in a little quarter, or I finish a lecture, put in a dollar, whatever it is. Sure. I'm not saying we personally do whatever, we have a little tzedakah box, everyone's putting in their money and sure. What happens now? Now, gavalt, I realize I gotta go run to the store, I need some cash, I'm pumpkin around, I can't find my bank card. I know it is $50 in the tzedakah box. I'm going to borrow $50 from the tzedakah box. If it don't bother me, you know, if it don't bother me to take $50, of course I'm going to pay it back. I brought an IOU to the tzedakah box. Sure, I'm going to borrow $50 from the tzedakah box, but it's going to bother me to just give back $50. I want to throw in a little donation. Also, I'm going to give back the tzedakah box $51. What's it then? Am I allowed to do that? Is that a shalav ribbis? Is that ribbis deraisa, or ribbis derabanan, or het tegamah? What's the din? So come to Paiskim and say, it depends. L'chora, that money that's put in the tzedakah box, l'chora, first glance, that money's still my money. means I dedicated, I said I'm going to give money for tzedakah. So I put aside a quarter for tzedakah. That money doesn't belong to tzedakah yet. That's my money still. And eventually, I'm going to take that money and send it to tzedakah. So in a sense, that money is still my money. There's no issur ribbis from one person to himself. From my right hand wants to borrow money from my left hand. I have people do this all the time. I have two accounts. I have a savings account and a checking account. So I'm going to put somebody into, I'm going to transfer money from the checking to the savings. And then if it's next week, I'm going to, from the savings to the checking, and the next week, I'm going to throw in another $100 back into the savings. Ribbis, a new shot of ribbis. Because Rabbi Sobolsky borrowed from Rabbi Zechel. It's honest, that's not ribbis. Because Chaim is Mechadish, you're not allowed to talk much and hard about yourself. Okay, but you're allowed to steal from yourself, right? You're allowed to trick yourself and steal from one pocket. You know, you're allowed to give ribbis to yourself. That's a joke. Of course, that's mutter. So come some buskman and say, so that's what you're doing in a sense. The cold man that the money hasn't been given over to any authority. It's not to the Aniyah's money. It's still the vice of my money. So that wouldn't be a problem of ribbis altogether. So some Achareim say, not so simple. Some Achareim say, it may depend on the following. You know what it may depend on? Alam de Shavar, Ve'alam de Shavar. Who owns the tzedakah box? So there are different kinds of tzedakah. Brisketer, there are two different types of tzedakah boxes out there. Sometimes, you know, your kid in the nursery makes a beautiful tzedakah box, and that's where you put your pennies into. And sometimes, yeshiva sends you yeshiva masip the tarvadas. We still have one of those sitting on our table. So yeshiva tarvadas sends us a tzedakah box. That's a very different kind of tzedakah box. Who owns the tzedakah box? So if the tzedakah box is owned by my daughter, by myself, it's my homemade tzedakah box, so then, you're right. I didn't give the money to the tzedakah. It's not owned by the tzedakah. It's owned by me, so there's no problem of ribbis. I can take 100 and give back 110. But if the tzedakah box belongs to Yeshiva Plonis, so if it really belongs to Yeshiva Plonis, what do we have an issue of what? Kel Shalom Kainalai. That a cleaver person is Kainalai Fil Shalom Yedaitai. So if that tzedakah box is sitting in my house, it's kind of even in my house, because I'm giving the person reshus. You might as well sugya and Rabbi Vasser about whether you can have no pumat asvinas. Yeah, get a kerosh shalom in reshus hamoichem, but of a mice, if he gives him reshus to put it there, that for sure works, right? No, doesn't it? Is that the Gemara? I forgot. Anyway, something like that. So some achronim amar that maybe that's considered to be kerosh shalom, and now that money I'll pay dinim on this belongs to yeshiva tever das. So that would be a problem. Now I'm borrowing money from Yeshiva Tarvadas, and I'm giving them back ribbis. That's a problem. That would be a problem. Ribbis deraisa. If it's ribbis derabanan, so then they can do it. They can do ribbis derabanan. They're a tzedakha. But if it's ribbis deraisa, that would be a problem with the tzedakha. Unless you want to argue when the yeshiva send you this little cheap tzedakha box, they don't want the tzedakha box back. They give it to you as a gift. But imagine if I say to them, listen, I don't want to give any donations. They're going to ask me for the tzedakha box back. No, usually you're not.
No, they don't want the money. They actually ask for a check now with all the money that you
give. Right, they don't even want that. And I was a little kid, I remember. There used to be a man, an older man, that's why I say Yeshiva Tarvadas. Used to be an older man. He would come to my grandmother Lashon. He would come from Brooklyn every year, and he would come, and they'd come to my grandmother, they would come to my parents, and the biggest thrill was to open up the door and count all the pennies. I think Sachar goes maybe $4 the whole year. But he would count the pennies and the nickels. And like it was gavaldic. As a little kid, I still remember that image. I kid you not, but this man, he should live and be well. He still comes, and he found his way to Tinek. He comes to Tinek, comes to me also. He's he still comes. He's been coming. Over 40 years to our family. 40 years that I remember. And he still comes. And I still show him, when he comes, he knows that I show my kids. I say, this is the man who used to come to, now already my little girl is already named for my grandmother who used to come to the same pennies that more than $4, whatever, but inflation a little bit. It cost more money to cross the bridge that used to come to take the train up to Riverdale. But so that's a duckle box. So who owns that tzedakah box? Is that Yeshiva Tarvadas tzedakah box? I don't know, not sure. But if it's a private tzedakah box, not Yeshiva tzedakah box, my own personal tzedakah box, then there's no problem with ribbis. Anyway, so getting back to the story.
But that's borrowing the money, that would also be subject to this question.
Huh? Right. Who gives right? Unless you're tired, it's mamish nichalei. It's like the shachs under the nemuchah. They want you to borrow the money because then you give them ribbis. Everyone knows you take money from tzedakah box, you give them more back. I don't know. Anyway, getting back to the story. But it would appear that which the Rashba was willing to open up this possibility that there's no ribbis at all. Whenever you have these mostos, so that's not really accepted. That's why it's a little bit of a pella that some of want to bring the Rashba back to life in terms of the next major part of our discussion, which is also part, still in the first set of Mount Kermis, part of the Malvin the Loivis story, and that's the question of banks. So this was a big issue already in Europe, this issue of Jewish-owned banks. If you have a bank that's totally Goyish-owned bank, then there's nothing to worry about. That's not the Ribbis Bechlau. There was a Ribbis between Jews and Goyim, maybe. But we'll see that hopefully as we get further down the line. But if you have a Jewish-owned bank, so you have a very serious problem. You have a serious problem if I'm putting money into the bank, I'm taking money out of it, whatever it is. Whoever's lending money to who, that's a very, very serious problem. So some Achronim wanted to quote this Rashi and say that, nope, that the banks are considered to be like the Moshe Tzedakah. Why? If you hold the Kula Moshe Tzedakah is based on Hekdesh, bank is not Hekdesh, but if you hold that the Kula is based on the Ein Baal of Yiduim, so you can argue there's no Baal of Yiduim either. So who owns Bank Lomi? So there's no Baal of Yiduim. So it's a corporation owned bank owned by a lot of people. So that's Ein Baal of Yiduim. So that would be, maybe that would be Mutta. So the later Achronim don't like this Kula. It's first of all. But no, they want to be Matim Ribbis Deraisa because based on this Chuvah of Rashba. Right, that's what the later Achronim says. So what are you bringing back this Rashba? The Rashba himself backed out. Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote it, and the banks would have been worse because they're all Baalim Yiduim. We know who owns the bank. Maybe a lot of people on the list, but they're all Baalim Yiduim. It's not exactly like yeshiva. Again, you have certain yeshivas are private, certain shuls are private. Okay, that's doing. But when you have a bank, so it's quite possible that you can track down who exactly the owners are. The 200 people on the list are the owners of the bank. So with the whole Rashba application of the bank is very, very schwach. So we don't want to go that route. Is there any route to salvage banks? Is there any way to make it possibly mutter to be involved in ribbis transactions with Jewish-owned banks? We haven't even begun to discuss the issue of how do you define what's called Jewish-owned and what's called Goyish-owned. We get to the ribbis with Goyim, hopefully we'll talk about it a little bit more. But if you have a bank that's partially owned by Jews, like just about probably all banks in the world today, with maybe some certain banks from certain countries, not to mention. Okay, we don't want to be on YouTube. So but for, let's say an Israeli bank, which is a real bona fide bank, real Jewish through and through bank, so it's a very, very serious problem of ribbis. How do you get around that problem? So this was a major machlokes tikadeli, a place came in of, I would say our generation, my generation, you are the last generation, the machlokes tikadeli, a place came in Ramesh and others, about what exactly is the status of ribbis vis-a-vis banks. So Ramesh had a gevaldike chiddush in the footnote of the Maamar Kamos. Ramesh had a chiddush, he writes in a few places. I try to find the truth that he said it, that was easiest and clearest and shortest to find it. He says in a few places, his big breakthrough in Uchas Ribbis. So, and the truth is, Ramesh wasn't the first one to say this. He was the one who really developed it and really made it before some, but it already existed in early Achronim also. Ramesh said that, if you remember some of the sugyas we spoke about earlier this year, about Havos and about Shibud, there's a basic principle in terms of malvas and leives. That's the principle of shibud. When I borrow money from you, so I become a shibud to pay you back that loan. And again, there are details of shibud aguf and shibud nechosim. So it gives me the end of a baser. What's the rice? What's the rabbanon? Those are all details. But the basic principle of shibud clearly exists. Comes a merchant and says, "What would the halacha be if I borrow money from you, but I have no shibud? I have no responsibility to pay back this loan." Sounds like a strange setup. Who would ever lend me money if I have no responsibility to pay back the loan? Says Rav Moshe, well, there's a concept called personal liability and non-personal liability. So says Rav Moshe, if let's say you have 10 people, 10 individuals, come to a big gevir and say, we're going into business together, we would like to borrow as individuals, we want to borrow $1 million from you. So the Malva is going to write down each one of these persons' names, we're going to write it down on the shtar, and he's going to make an agreement with them, okay, I'm lending you $1 million, and if you don't pay me back $1 million, I'm going to go after you, and I'm going to go after you, and I'm going to take away your house, I'm going to take away your car, I'm going to go after your property, I'm going to take you to court. That's called personal liability. So says Rav Moshe, that's the Malva Amor B'Torah. That's the Malva Valoiva Amor B'Torah. Osra Torah, Ribbis Abom, Yadilovli Amalva, there's got to be a Malva, there's got to be a Lova. That's the good old style Malva Valoiva. It could be one Malva Valoiva, it could be 1,000 Malvas Valoivas. But the common denominator of every normal Havah until 100 years ago was that there was a Malva, there was a Loiva, and the Loiva can be held accountable for what he's borrowing. Now we have a new concept. It's called a lack of personal liability. A corporation. So a corporation or a bank, which is in a sense a corporation, we're going to borrow money. We're going to have 1 million people borrowing money, and no one's going to be held responsible. What's going to be held responsible? The business is going to be held responsible. The corporation is going to be held responsible. So you have a bank. So a bank borrows money from me, and the bank can't pay. So when it comes time for the bank to pay, so much like this, I put money into my bank account. So the bank is borrowing money from me. I put $1,000 into the bank. So the bank's borrowing $1,000 from me. Now I come back next week and I'd like to collect $1,000. The bank tells me, sorry, we can't pay you the money anymore. So where am I going to go at this point? So I'm going to go to the list of the people who have a share in the bank. I'm going to go and collect their money. You can't do that. The bank is incorporated. So a corporation, by definition, means that you can't go after one particular person. Who are you going to go and track down to pay back this chob? So comes the Moshe and says, whenever you have a bank or whenever you have a corporation, by definition, you don't have a loiver, because you don't have any one person who's meshubad. The bank is an entity. All assets of the bank are potentially liable to be paid. If the bank owns property, so Chase Bank is sitting on this piece of karka, so I can theoretically at some point, if they don't pay back the money, I can go after their assets. But I can't go back, I can't go after one of the shareholders in the bank. That's a lack of personal liability. It comes to Moshe and says, there's no ribbis deraisa on that. There's no ribbis derabanan on that. There's no hova. That's not a hova. There's no loiva. There's no loiva. And there's no ribbis. That's Ramosha's solution. According to this pshat of Ramosha, it's the Valdik. According to Ramosha's tzach, so there's no problem of ribbis whatsoever. Whatever the loiva is a corporation, whatever the loiva is a bank, or whatever, let's say, for example, the loiva is a government. You have the government of Israel borrows money from me. What does that mean? Buy a bond. I buy an Israeli bond. What does that mean? I'm lending the Israeli government $500. And now, in 10 years from now, they're going to give me back $600. So what do you mean? How can I do this? It's a Jewish government. So how would I have a right to take ribbis from them? So the answer is, who did I lend the money to? I lent the money to the state of Israel. Who did I, what, to Netanyahu? Who did I lend the money to? The prime minister? Who did I lend the money to? If the government defaults on a loan, who am I going to go after? Because I can't personally go after anybody. So there is no holva. There's no holva, then there's no ribbis b'chol. That was Ramosha's chiddush. However, Ramosha's chiddush only works in one direction. It only works when you are lending money to the bank, when you're lending money to the corporation. If the bank is borrowing money, the other way around. If the bank is lending you money, I'm sorry. If the bank is lending you money, so there is a personal liability.
The problem. What? For the Israeli bonds, is the problem then?
No, the bonds, I'm lending them money. I buy money. What?
As long as the corporation is
a loaver, then it's okay. But if let's say I want to go to the bank, I want to borrow money, I want to take a mortgage from a bank, so I want to borrow money. So they write my name down on the thing, so they're going to come after me. They're going to come after my property, after my house. So that's considered to be a loaver. And again, if it's a Jewish bank, so then there's a Jewish entity called the malveh who is lending money to a Jewish loaver. There's a shibud. And you got a problem. That's a real ribbis, real bona fide ribbis. Ribbis there is a problem.
Why is the malveh Jewish?
No, if the bank is Jewish bank.
Why? How come we don't say the same? Meaning, we don't know who the malveh is. We can't point. Just like we said.
No, so that's what Ramosh is not going like the Rashba. The Rashba says ain't bad if you do him. There's no malveh on the loiv and it's het the gomer. According to the Rashba svar, if that svar would have been accepted, then it would have worked in both directions. Ramosh is a different svar. Ramosh is saying, not that we don't know who everybody is. We know who everyone is, but. If Ramosha says, if I would say to you, listen, I'm borrowing $100 from you, but I'm not going to be responsible to pay back the loan. So Ramosha says, that's not a loan, that's a present. So in effect, the bank is taking a present. I'm going to have a way to collect because there's a corporation, so the bank has certain assets, but there's no personal assets, so there's no loan. That's Ramosha's big chiddush. So not everyone agreed to Ramosha. My father, one of the big bar plukt of Ramosha was Dayan Weiss, the Mechaz Yitzchak. The Mechaz Yitzchak writes in several truvas from England, so he says, it's not true. He has a raya from a whole sugi about the ribbis on a basic knesses, and when the shul sells this property, and the money property goes back, even though the shul is not, there's no personal liability in the shul. So he has a whole shul Torah against Rav Moshe. Whatever he's miyashiv, the shul Torah. Gets a machlek is the gedolei apostle. Rav Moshe and Minchas Yitzchak, is there ribbis b'chlau when you have a loiva who's, again, assuming everyone's Jewish, is there ribbis b'chlau when the loiva doesn't have a personal liability? How do we follow the halacha? This depends. Yes, depends where you are. So in Eretz Yisrael, they don't usually quote this Kula of Ramesha that much. Usually in the Eretz Yisrael Svarim, so they go with a more conventional, the more Eretz Yisrael the Poskim, that this Svar is not true. And therefore, there would be a problem of ribbis. If you look in the more in the American books, like Reisman, so he always quotes every five pages. Says, according to Rabbi Isha, there wouldn't be any ribbis here whatsoever. But since not everyone agrees to Rabbi Isha, so therefore, you should try to have the risk and try to do this or that. Try to avoid it if you can. And then he always writes, and since the question here is only ribbis to Rabbanon, so then, well, it's only to Rabbanon, you can learn Rabbi Isha for that. You know, so again, so Ramosha held the spot, even by Ribbis Derais, in the real Makulay. So if you could somehow knock it down to the Rabbana, and then the, you know, even the American Post were more comfortable relying on this the Shuv of Ramosha. So again, there are different opinions about this. The Kopan of the whole discussion is all revolving around that basic cloud of the existence of a Malvin Loiva. How do you define a Malvin? Define a Loiva in terms of the Malvin Tzedakah, in terms of the Malvin Yisayim, in terms of the banks, corporations, etc. So at least we have I think we finished the first set of Mamakamas. A little bit of just an overview in terms of what's considered to be Ribbis Deraisa, what are the basic requirements in terms of Ribbis Ketzutz and the Malvin Loiv, etc. Hopefully, tomorrow we'll talk a little, start a little bit about certain other shahs that come up which are fall more into the category of Ribbis. Okay, I'll keep in touch tomorrow in terms of the time of Shia, and then hopefully after tomorrow, the next year will be Mitzvah Shem the following Thursday. We'll keep you in touch in terms of that time as well. It'll probably be 12 o'clock.
What?